The Giants open up a 3-day rookie mini camp. What are our expectations and what's the current state of the Giants roster? Ed Valentine of Big Blue View joins me to discuss all that next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traynor here with you. Thank you so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. And if you're watching on YouTube, you get to see my smiling, shiny face, as well as that of Ed Valentine's smiling, shiny face. Ed Valentine, of course, good friend from Big Blue View, SB Nation. Edward, happy to see you on the program.
Happy to be here, Patty. I thought you were gonna say something about my shining bald head, but
I should have, you know, especially since you made a crack about my hair on your show. But
oh, I didn't.
I'm gonna be the bigger person.
All right then.
I'm gonna be the bigger person.
All right, as you usually are.
As I usually am, because you know you can't beat me when it comes down to these squabbles. But anyway,
nope, can't do it.
Anyway, Giant fans, we are going to talk, we're going to get you ready for Rookie Minicamp, which is this weekend. It actually starts today, so we've got a special show here to get you ready for that. We're going to talk a little bit about the direction the Giants are going in, and of course, the NFL schedule is out as you hear this. The schedule has been released, so we'll just talk a little bit about the need for a fast start and all that good stuff. So all that's coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. Happy to have you with us. Edward, let's start with this rookie mini camp real quick. What are your expectations to see from this 11-member draft class? And I think they're going to bring in, what, at least 10? I think I saw 71 players on the roster, so they've got room for a lot of UDFAs.
Yeah, they do. For me, Patty, it's always about finding out which guys look like they're, I don't want to say NFL ready, but look like they belong, because you always find, you know, guys who look confused, guys who look out of place. But for me, especially with the draft picks, you just want to see that these guys look like they belong on an NFL field. So for me, that's important. I mean, you watch how they go through drills. You watch how they conduct themselves. You watch how they interact with their teammates as much as you can in, let's be honest, what are going to be two very brief practices over the 2 days that we have access. I think both of those practices are an hour and 15 minutes. So we're not going to see a whole lot on the field. We will get to talk to a lot of these guys, so we'll get to some interaction with them, you know, in that setting as well.
Now, the important thing, I mean, just based on what we know about the schedule, from what I can tell, it's going to be more about learning as opposed to doing. You know, in other words, you can put these guys out on the field and you can have them run around and you can have them doing all kinds of drills, but I kind of get the early impression that what Brian Daboll is trying to do is get these guys in, get them comfortable, say, okay, look, here's the playbook. Here's what we need you to do and understand, and then let them go out there and be able to, you know, run around and execute it. But hence why maybe the practices are a little shorter than what we're accustomed to seeing, as opposed to, you know, doing two practices like way back in the old days.
Right. Well, what people need to remember, Patty, is that all of these guys are finding their way around the facility. They're all new to the building. The draft picks all got to come in, you know, and meet and greet, but they were in the building. They were around for a day or less than that. So these guys are all, they're getting acclimated to their surroundings. They're getting acclimated to their new coaching staff. They're learning the playbook. They're walking around the building, you know, learning the names of the people who handle the equipment, who work in the kitchen. They're they're learning how they're expected to practice, where they're expected to be, when they're expected to be there. So what we see on the field isn't going to be perfect. This is more like acclimation for these guys, just to begin to understand, you know, who the people are in the building and how they're going to be expected to do things.
You know, you mentioned something that I wanted to actually bring up, and that was they did bring in most of the draft picks into the building. They brought in, obviously, the two first-rounders. Then they brought in day two's picks. And I thought that was a very subtle but yet underreported occurrence. And the reason for that is, as you mentioned, you know, these kids come in and they're already nervous, you know, because it's like, oh, my God, this is actually work. This isn't college anymore where, you know, if I screw up, I'm still going to be okay. I'm going to get paid for this. So they come in, and it was an opportunity for most of them to learn where everything is. Where's the lunchroom? Where's the locker room? Who do I go to see if I have an equipment problem? Who do I go to see if I need medical treatment, et cetera, et cetera? Actually, you know, and from what it wouldn't surprise me, but I've been talking with some of the coaches of some of the undrafted free agents, and some of them have told me that some of these kids have actually shown up as early as Wednesday. So they've come in Wednesday. A lot of them, I think, are coming in by Thursday to get their physicals, their equipment and everything. So they can get that acclimation period of where's the auditorium, where are the meeting rooms, get that all out of the way so they can focus on learning in the classrooms, which I think is going to be, you know, a big thing. It's going to make a difference as opposed to just showing up on Thursday, you know, on Friday morning and saying, here I am. Okay, now what do I do?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is a new experience for all of these kids. And we still have to remember they are kids. These are 21, 22-year-old young men who are finding their way into the world.
Yeah, and the football world, you know, and no veterans around to help them, obviously, because the veterans will be have been dismissed for the weekend. Now, in terms of the field stuff, there will be no pads. There will be no contact. Probably a lot of drills. What are you hoping to see, or what do you think, you know, this group can show, despite the fact that it's still a learning process? It's going to be sloppy. It's not going to be true, quote unquote, real football. But what are you looking to, I don't want to say get out of it, but, you know, what do you want to come away with after these 2 days of media access are done?
Well, you obviously want to see how these guys move around the field. You want to see, you know, I think, as I said before, you want to see if it looks and feels like they belong out there. Interestingly to me, Patty, I think that for you and I, maybe even more interesting, more important than what we see on the field is getting a chance to talk to a lot of these guys after practice, getting a chance to see how they conduct themselves. Are they comfortable? Are they well-spoken? You know, how do they interact with the media? I remember, you remember Daniel Jones's rookie camp, right? And we sat there and we all had a good chuckle at watching Darius Slayton drop pass after pass after pass after pass in 2 days of rookie minicamp. And we know that Darius Slayton went on to have a really good rookie season, which is partially a lesson in, you know, don't take everything that you see in those 2 days as gospel. But for me, the most impressive part of all of that was listening to Daniel Jones speak after those practices and take responsibility and defend his teammate and basically say, I have to throw him better balls. I have to throw him easier balls to catch. And for me, you know, Daniel Jones has not gone on to be a star quarterback. But for me, I thought we learned a lot more about Daniel Jones in the post-practice press conferences than we learned about anybody on the field.
And we learned that he was an Eli clone, because that's exactly what Eli always used to say when something went astray.
Right.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, mind you, but that was the takeaway I had.
Right. Exactly.
But your point's well taken. You know, sometimes with how a guy speaks, you know, and what he says in response to some of the questions gives you insight into his what he's thinking and or how he's thinking and how he's going to handle success versus failure. And that's half the battle right there, because, you know, if you get a guy who can't handle failure, well, pack it in, buddy. You might as well go find a different profession. All right, Giant fans, still more to come on this special edition of the Locked On Giants podcast as we break down the Giants' 2022 schedule. But first, BetOnline is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, BetOnline.net has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to BetOnline.net today to learn more about the trends and the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, Ed, of the draft class, 11 members, which guys are you most curious to learn more about?
Oh, Patty, for me, that starts with Wandale Robinson. Okay. Because, you know, I think we all know that taking Wandale Robinson at 43 was the pick that raised the most eyebrows for the Giants. The more that I've studied the pick, the more that I've talked to people about the pick, the more that I've talked to Robinson's coaches, the more I understand what the Giants might have seen. But I want to see it for myself. I want to see how he moves around. I want to see how he catches the ball. I want to see, you know, as I've said before, does he look like he belongs? Does he look like it's too big for him? The Giants were very adamant that they had a very clear vision for how they wanted to use Wandale Robinson in this offense. And I don't know if we're going to get any clues on that Friday and Saturday, but we might, you know, just based on the kind of routes we see the kid run and, you know, whether we see him doing returning and things like that. But for me, I think the curiosity starts with Wandale Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I think all eyes are going to be on him because that was a little bit of a head scratcher of a pick at that spot, especially, you know, with cornerback becoming a looming need. And now, speaking of cornerback, you know, this is kind of off the topic of rookie minicamp in a way, but James Bradberry is no longer here. What do the Giants do? I mean, they have guys. It's not like, the cupboard's bare. Aaron Robinson looks like he could be the guy that they're going to lean on to maybe take that or compete for that role. I think a veteran's got to come in here. I'd be stunned if they don't add a veteran, but I mean, is there anybody that is even close to what Bradberry brings? And I know last year was a little bit of an off year for him, but he was still a pretty good cornerback.
The short answer to that, Patty, is no, there's no James Bradberry on this roster. And Bradberry, as Joe Shane, I think, tellingly said a couple of times, Bradberry is a good cornerback. James Bradberry is not a great cornerback. James Bradberry is not, you know, he's not Jalen Ramsey. He's not an all-pro cornerback. He's a good NFL player. He'll be a useful player, you know, on whatever good NFL team he happens to land on. He will help them, and he would have helped the Giants, absolutely. But it was just a circumstance where the Giants, they needed the cap space more than they needed the player. And that was an unfortunate leftover from the previous administration and from the way that that the Giants conducted the 2021 offseason. But there's nobody on this roster who's going to step in and play as well as Bradberry did immediately a year ago. And the reality of it is there's still no money for the Giants to go out and do a whole lot more than sign a veteran who's willing to take a minimum contract. So, and there aren't great players available at this point anyway. So you're not going to get a Bradberry caliber corner, you know, at least a guy with that kind of experience. You're going to make do with whatever veteran you can bring in. You're probably going to make do with a veteran backup at safety as well. You're going to give young guys like Aaron Robinson a chance on the outside. You're going to give a young guy like Rodarius Williams a chance on the outside. I don't know if the Giants will give Darnay Holmes a chance on the outside. I tend to feel like with Darnay Holmes, Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge drafted over Darnay Holmes by taking Robinson. Then Joe Shane and Brian Daboll drafted over Darnay Holmes by taking Cordale Flott. So I don't know what they think of Darnay Holmes, but for me, whatever answers they have are probably going to come from within.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And again, Robinson, you know, the jury's still out on him because he had that injury which cut into his rookie season. But, you know, hey, same thing happened with Xavier McKinney, and he turned out to be pretty good. So maybe the Giants might have something there. And they did retain Jerome Henderson, the defensive backs coach, which is a plus because he can continue developing those defensive backs. And he did a pretty good job with them, I thought, you know, last year when injuries were popping up all over the place. He basically, you know, that unit didn't fall completely apart.
No, and I would prefer, to be honest with you, I would prefer to see Aaron Robinson play inside. But circumstance might lead to him having to play outside. And that's just, you know, that's just the deal for the Giants in 2022. It's just the way the roster is. And you and I talk about this all the time, Patty. Yes, the Giants had 11 draft picks. You know, yes, they had the opportunity to sign some players in free agency, but you cannot get everything that you want or need in one off season. It's a salary cap league. You have a limited number of draft choices. And yes, the Giants had 11. You just can't solve every need because the value's not always there. Maybe the free agent money's not always there. So you do the best you can. You bring in the best players you can. And then you try to find whatever other answers you need from within or from the waiver wire or however you can.
Yeah. And that's not always easy, especially now when the pickings are kind of on the slim side. Ed, let me ask you about the offensive line. They drafted a couple of young developmental offensive linemen in addition to Evan Neal, who I think we can all agree, unless he's injured, he's going to be the starting right tackle. Do you feel that this offensive line is finally fixed, or you still have reservations about it?
Patty, I would never use the word fixed. You want to use the word fixed. And I remember Dave Gettleman famously saying, you know, we drafted three guys because they drafted Andrew Thomas and Shane Lemieux and Matt Parrott because they wanted to fix the offensive line once and for all. And that was a foolish thing to say because every single year is different. I think that what I feel really good about is I don't know if Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal are going to be all pro players somewhere down the line, but I feel really good about the fact that these are two highly drafted, very talented young men who should be able to bookend the offensive line, you know, for a number of years. And I think I was talking to Brandon Thorne about the offensive line, and he basically said that this is very similar to how the Buffalo Bills built their offensive line. You get your bookend tackles, however you get them. You mix and match with, you know, competent veterans, young players, as many competent pieces as you can on the inside, and you let the competition and the depth play out. Now, I would love it if the Giants had been able to draft a developmental center. They weren't able to do that. But you've got a competent player at right guard in Mark Glowinski. You've got John Feliciano and probably Max Garcia as the backup center. And those are guys that have played a lot of snaps in the NFL. You probably have a competition at left guard, which is the only spot that I look at as open right now. And you know, as you and I have talked about previously, Patty, the best thing for me about this offensive line is there are a couple of young developmental pieces, you know, guys like Joshua Azudu and Marcus McKethan, if he turns into a player, but the Giants drafted guys who might be able to develop into useful pieces eventually. So I feel better about the potential of this offensive line, But I would never say that it's fixed because things happen and things change so quickly.
Right. And, you know, to your point, Feliciano, Garcia, I mean, Douglas all signed to 1-year deals. Glowinski's the only one who has the multiple year deal. So you figure at the end of the year, the chances of them signing all those guys or re-signing all those guys on 1-year deals, probably not going to happen. So at some point, you're going to have to move them out, move somebody else in. And it's just a matter of who. But, you know, I guess a better way to put it, Ed, is the Giants with the offensive line, I guess, previously didn't really have a plan as right. to how to attack building it. Can we say safely that they have a plan now?
I think we can say that it seems like, it feels like they have a plan, not only in the offensive line, Patty, but in a lot of ways. It seems like, you know, for me, for too many years, this organization from ownership on down has had this idea that, well, this is going to be the season that everything turns around. We're going to go all in. We're going to build a winner around, you know, around 95-year-old Eli Manning who can't get the ball down the field anymore. You know, we're going to build a winner, you know, by drafting a running back in the second round and surrounding Eli with as much talent as we possibly can. We're going to go all in free agency, despite what that does to our cap the following year, because this is going to be the year that we're going to turn this around and make a playoff run. This is going to be the year that we're going to prove that we were right about Daniel Jones and that we're going to make the playoffs. Never in that entire time, I think, did the Giants ever actually embrace the fact that they were bad, that they didn't have a good roster, that they weren't a good football team, that they were in a rebuild. They were in a rebuild without recognizing they were in a rebuild or acting like they were in a rebuild. And I think that what I feel good about is that I feel like this regime, obviously, they want to win in 2022 if they can, but this regime seems to actually recognize where this franchise is and where this roster is.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked on Giants podcast, special edition of Locked on Giants podcast. But first, Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but without the calories and without the sugar. Most Built Bars contain about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein, and they taste great. Built Bar offers 9 amazing flavors in nut and nut-free variety, plus a rotating limited-time offering of different flavors that changes up every so many weeks. Head on over to BuiltBar.com today and see what their current flavor lineup looks like, and use our special promo code LOCK15 to save 15% off your first order. Again, that's code LOCK15 to save 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. What are your expectations? I know it's still early. We still have to get through training camp. The roster is not fully complete yet because I think they have like 71 players. They're going to add more. You know, what are you expecting? What's realistic, do you think, to expect from this team?
Oh, Patty, I don't know. I would hope that it's more than 4-13. I think it will be more than 4-13. Honestly, I feel like as bad as things were last year, some of that was, I thought that was a better team than 4-13, at least, you know, initially on paper. I thought that was a team that should have approached 7 or 8 wins had it stayed reasonably healthy. And in all honesty, in the end, had it been coached better. But that I think I'm hoping that this team, you know, wins 7 games, 8 games, looks like it's making progress, looks like a professional outfit, looks like it has players and pieces that it can build with and go forward with, you know, throughout the roster. We'll get an answer by the end of the year on Daniel Jones. We'll know what direction the Giants are going to have to go in, you know, at quarterback. So, and that obviously is a huge, huge piece. But that's what I want to see. I just want to see the Giants look like a professional team, look like they're going forward, look like they've identified some core players that, that they can go forward with and build a winning franchise with.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And, you know, I keep saying I'm not holding out hope it's going to be this year for the Giants to go back to the playoffs. Right. But I think they can be close. You know, it depends on what happens, obviously, with Daniel Jones and some other things. But if all things fall into place, they can be close.
You know, we talked about, we always look at the Buffalo Bills, Patty, because of where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll came from. And I think what happened in Buffalo was, when Brandon Bean became GM there, they had a surprisingly good first season. I think they went 9-7. They might have made the playoffs. I don't have it in front of me, but they had a surprisingly good first season, sort of fell back to reality a little bit in their second year. But from year three on, we see what the Bills have become. And that's really the goal, you know, for the Giants is to build something that's sustainable through the draft, through developing players, through being smart, through making better decisions than they've made the past few years. So, you know, we'll see if they can get there.
Let's hope they do, because I would like to think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and we're almost at the end of the tunnel here, and that brighter days are ahead for the Giants. And
that tunnel just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, Patty.
I know. Gosh, it's a never-ending tunnel. And fingers crossed that they finally have a plan and that the plan unfolds. Now, obviously, we don't know about any, you know, unexpected occurrences, but got to stay optimistic, and we got to hope that Daniel Jones develops into the type of quarterback they think he can be. Otherwise, we're going to start all over again next year, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, goodness. So anyway, Edward, before we say goodbye, let everybody know what you got coming up on your shows, on your website.
Well, we'll see you at Rookie Minicamp the next couple of days, Patty, on Friday and Saturday. I'll be there giving you as much information as I can. We've already started our annual series of 90-man roster profiles of the guys that the Giants will bring to training camp. We're going to continue to crank out film studies, analysis, whatever we can on our YouTube channel, and bringing you four or five shows a week on our podcast. So we'll be filling as much of your time as you can stand throughout the off season, as Patty will be doing here on Locked On Giants and Giants Country as well.
4 to 5 shows a week. How do you do it?
I do it by only doing a couple shows and letting other people do the rest, Patty. I don't try to be a hero like you and do them all myself.
See, that's why I'm better than you, because I'm a hero. I do it out every day sometimes 6 or 7 times.
See, and I'm not going to argue with you, Patty.
No, because you won't win.
I never do.
You need to get with my husband and find out how he wins some of the arguments.
I was just about to say, you know, between you and my wife, I don't think I've won an argument in 30, 35 years, something like that.
I believe it. All right. Edward, thank you as always for coming on. Giant fans, thank you for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Make sure you keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Again, I will have additional programming on the Rookie Minicamp. I'll have a wrap-up. I'll have Twitter Tuesday. We'll return next week. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've had that. That will be returning. And we'll continue to hear from the various Locked On College hosts who are telling us about the various draft picks that we still haven't covered yet, but we will get to all that. We've got plenty of stuff to keep you guys busy. And also, don't forget to check us out on Giants Country, where we have content we will be cranking out daily. So for Ed Valentine, I'm Patricia Tran. Again, thank you and have a great one.